Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 5. Listen for God's word. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well. And he took up his mat and he began to walk. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Do you want to be made well? What a great question from Jesus. Part of the question sort of assumes something about this man that maybe he didn't. Maybe the answer is no, I really don't. I want to just stay the way I am because I know the way I am. But Jesus asks the question in a way that also invites us to think, how might we be open to answering that question with a yes? Yes, I would like to be made well. The word itself, to be made well, is one that is very familiar in the Greek New Testament. It is a word that not only means healing, but it is a word that leads us to what it means to know God's love in a saving way, in a way that brings new life. And so today, as we listen to three testimonies about healing, we invite you to consider Jesus' question, do you want to be made well? And in what ways? So that as you listen to these testimonies, perhaps you will hear God inviting you into ways that you may know love as healing.
Good morning. If we're all being honest, of all these signs of love, healing is the one we would just as soon not have to experience. I mean, if I need healing, that's because there's something wrong with me or my life, and who needs that? And yet, with our fragile and precarious bodies and world, it is the sign of love we need most often. And when you need it, you really want it. Healing. Now, first a disclaimer. I'm not going to talk about sometimes that ineffably sad, sometimes relieving, sometimes tragically inexplicable final healing. I'm going to leave that to the professionals. I am not going to tackle that subject. I am also not even talking about the real miracle that we do get better. We heal. The owie doesn't last forever. The bone knits, the cut scars, and then fades away. What an amazing sign of God's grace that we can fix ourselves, that we can repair. But that's not what I'm referring to. I'm not referring to God's blessing, love, and healing. I'm talking about human love healing. Now, it's the kind of healing that you cannot swing a cat in this sanctuary without hitting. And that statement does not condone or endorse cat swinging. It is wrong. Okay. Now, I love the English language because you can get involved in all sorts of kind of interesting wordplay. You can say, when we take I and turn it to we, illness can become wellness. Oh, wow, dude, man, it's like a flashback. I don't know. Anyway, you got to love that English. It's that generosity of spirit to create the space for healing that is so remarkable. And I have gotten to observe and benefit from that generosity from the enviable position of not being the person who needs the healing and not being the person in pain. And that has been nothing short of breathtaking. As you may know, Christy, wherever you are, hi there. My young bride has recently had a total knee replacement. The help, kindness, generosity, and patience, aka love, that has been lavished on her and me has been a true godsend. The prayers, advice, support, material and spiritual aid have been a blessing that has allowed Christy to attend to her healing and me to play Microsoft casual games. I'm at work. Yep. Flowers, cards, walkers, grip bars, worry angels, food, transportation, books to occupy Christy's time and distract her from her pain so she can focus on her recovery. Everything we've needed has been graciously given. And, you know, it's been given without a sense of obligation. There's no, well, now you owe me. Now, Jesus does it. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He doesn't say, do unto others so they'll be obligated to do the same thing for you. He doesn't say that. I mean, even our professional caregivers seem to get in on the act. The surgeons, the nurses, the anesthesiologists, the assistants, the therapists, even the receptionists. I mean, when we left, when Christy checked out of the hospital, they even gave her a loaf of banana nut bread. And it wasn't even a Presbyterian hospital, so I go figure. And you know, there was a lot of things we had planned for, but there were some surprises, because my car decided during this time it needed healing twice. You know, my car is very competitive with Christy. It's kind of odd. But I had Debbie Amorisi, Catherine, Fraser, wherever she is, came immediately, helped, took me to Curry, even in the snow at night. Everything was taken care of. And another unexpected thing that happened during this, and you may have heard about this, we had some bad weather. Some people remember that. And, well, we lost power. I mean, it's one thing to lose power, but when you're trapped at home, you can't go anywhere, all you have, no electricity, so you don't have TV, no computer, no lights to read books, no heat. It was very bad. But luckily, we had thought ahead. We have a generator. Unluckily, we have me to start the generator. when I got home from work, it would not start. Christy put out the call with the remaining cell power she had to the church. Does anybody know a generator expert? I can tell you that Friday night was cold and dark. But Saturday dawned, and there was Bud Cocodrilli, generator whisperer. And he was working his magic until that baby was humming. I mean, things could not possibly get better. And then walking up the driveway was Darren McAuliffe and Cassie with two cups of coffee. We heard you lost your power and you need coffee. Yes, my precious. It was great. I mean, everywhere you look around here, every place you see, turn around and look at each other. When you see everybody here, these are people who are making healing possible through the generosity of their love. And I hope when you look around, even when you look around and there happens to be a mirror, you also see the same thing. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. I agree with Bill totally in that in this room there is love and healing. And hopefully my story will tell you all about that. First of all, my name is Deanna Collins. I've been a member of this church for 54 years. I've been living in the same house for 55 years. And I have 5 children. And this May, I will be married to that gentleman, John Collins, for 60 years. So often we look back and we say, oh my goodness, how did we ever do it? For you, all you people who have growing children, either grown or gone or still in the midst of the chaos, you look back and we shake our heads and we know how we did it. And one of the reasons is the people in this congregation, the love and the support that we receive from each and one of you for the intergenerational interactions we had with different people whose children were grown and understood that in the end, it does work out with a lot of hard work, a lot of blessings, and a lot of grace, a whole lot of grace, because otherwise it wouldn't have happened. Several years ago, I guess about 10 or 12 years ago, I had fairly bad back surgery, and one of them required that I have two titanium rods inserted in my lower spinal column, the lumbar region, two titanium rods and two titanium baskets. And in those baskets were inserted cadaverous bone, which then over the following year grew into bone and filled the space where my discs were removed. What they didn't tell me was that I was going to have to learn how to walk all over again. And that was very, very difficult. One of the prescriptions I had was to try to begin to walk a small amount each day, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and to increase it a little bit. At that time, my husband was still working. So we had the last back rows of the church used to have these senior ladies who had long ago given up driving. They couldn't drive, but there was one lady who did. Her name was Sue Enright. She organized these ladies into a group of helpers, and three times a day, a lady showed up at my house. Sue sat in my living room and crocheted while they walked me around the neighborhood with my walker. I did a little bit more each day, and this went on for 6 weeks, three times a day. Now, I also needed extensive physical therapy, and none of those women could drive. My husband was still working. So who took me? Sue Enright. What I forgot to tell you was that she was 82 years old, and she was failing. And she could drive. She got herself to work. She took those ladies to church every Sunday, so she did well. But I didn't realize it was going to take us an hour and a half to get from here to Hawthorne to the physical therapy office. So here we are driving along the Taconic on the right, very slowly, and the cars peeping their horns. Some of them went by with some profane languages. And, you know, and it was really, now it's amusing when you look back, but the first ride I was in horror. I said, I am just going to get killed. But we did finally get there. Now, what I didn't say is that the physical therapy office was in Hawthorne, and who was my physical therapist? But here he is, our own John Winchett. Stand up, come on. Because of this man, I was able to walk, and it took a lot of patience and a lot of grace because I'm not a complying patient. I gave him a hard time, I really did, but he was very patient. He was very, very patient, and he was very kind and very firm. A little bit too firm at times, but he did a good job. I'm trying to think what my next thing was. I just can't remember. Okay, oh, I know what happened. I finally, slowly but surely, I regained enough strength, but about 8 years later, I had a tragic accident at home, and I fell down a huge flight of steps. 13 steps, actually, down to my basement floor, and I landed flat on my back. Now, I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days because I had a brain bleed, but subsequently it did stop. And I was in the hospital for several days, and at that time, at this discharge time, they were looking for a rehab center close to Yorktown to make it easier for my family. And there were no rooms available. But Marcia Henderson is on the board of directors of the field home. So one little phone call to Marcia, and all of a sudden the discharge lady comes into the room and says, "Oh, Mrs. Collins, by the way, we didn't expect it, but we have an extra room in the field home." So I was able to stay there for about, oh, I guess maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And slowly but surely, I was able to get strength back on my shoulders and my legs again. My legs again became just a bit weak, so here I am. Back to John Winchett again. I guess it's like a rubber band relationship, you know, back and forth. It really is. So anyway, what I just wanted you all to know really is that the healing and the love that came from this congregation, the food, the visits, the cards, the support, and what I didn't mention was the love of my husband. Like I say, we've been married 60 years, and he has been by my side always, supporting me and helping me and loving me and just giving me the strength to take that extra step when I thought that I really wouldn't be able to do it. So as a result of that second surgery on my neck, I had two additional titanium bars put in my neck. So I call myself the bionic woman, you know, and I really am. But here I am, by the grace of God, I could walk and I could hold my head up a bit. John from the choir loft comes down and says to me, "Oh, honey, when you're singing, make sure you hold the book up like this." And then when he doesn't do that, my husband's in the gathering space and he says, "Hold your chin up, Deanna, hold your chin up." So, you know, I'm here, I'm above the flowers, and I'm a happy camper, and thanks be to God.
Well, before I start, I have to tell you, we should be very grateful for the gathering space, because if you could figure out how many free consultations I gave this guy. Anyway, now you know, everybody knows I'm a physical therapist. I've been a therapist for 40 years. And being asked to reflect on love is healing felt very comfortable to me. As a therapist, I've been blessed with the opportunity to touch the lives of many people. There certainly are too many people stories to share in this limited time, and not all of my patient encounters have been inspiring, but I have met many special people, and I would like to share just one story that, for me, revealed the healing power of love. I remember attending a patient conference regarding the discharge of a patient from the hospital. This gentleman had had a severely debilitating stroke with essentially no hope for functional recovery. He was totally dependent on others for all of his bodily needs, and his wife was at the conference. We, the clinical staff, recommended to her what seemed clearly the most realistic plan: a nursing home placement. To our amazement, without missing a beat, this gentleman's wife smiled broadly, and with a certain and joyful expression on her face, she informed us that she would be taking her husband home. We were amazed that this lovely elderly woman was choosing without hesitation to take on a monumental task: the 24/7 care of her severely disabled husband. Of course, we arranged for all of the home care support services and equipment needed, and the man was discharged home. My follow-up visit to this home was incredibly moving. There was his wife, happily and lovingly fulfilling all of her husband's needs. She was totally joyful to have her husband back home as she lovingly cared for him. And it was abundantly clear that her husband was happy and well cared for. He was now at home with his loving wife. He did not get better physically, but his spirit was healed by her love for him. A healing power of love was abundantly evident in that home, and it was my privilege to be a witness to that grace. Healing is love. Love is healing. But there is much more to this than John as a physical therapist. Not all of my professional experiences have been spiritual in nature, but not by a long shot. But on occasion, I have seen and experienced in a special way the connection between the body and the mind, the connection between physical pain and inner suffering. In those situations, something happens. There is something that happens when one actively listens to a person in pain, and when that person in pain, physical and or emotional, is touched by skilled hands or an open heart. This something is more powerful than my two hands can ever be on their own. When those moments happen, there is power beyond my understanding. It takes over and I become a vehicle for healing. Then I am privileged to be a witness. I have been blessed and privileged to have worked so closely with often vulnerable people and to play a role in helping to heal. I have always felt that there was a clear connection between my work and my faith. I love what I do, and it has always felt like a gift. For that, I am very thankful. In my life, I've experienced my own healing through the love and care of my family and friends, and I am ever in the process of learning how to be more grateful. I believe we all can be thankful for the love in our lives and the healing that it brings. So allow me to close now with a quote from the Buddha. Our sorrows and wounds are healed only when we touch them with compassion. For me, compassion is an expression of love, love that leads to healing. Thank you.